Hello and welcome to another edition of the Retail Gazette Unpacked podcast. I'm your host, Kieran Howells, and wow, this episode could not be more timely. We have seen so much about security in the media at the moment. It's, you know, one of those hot button issues, and that is exactly what we're going to unpack today. Basically, how you can be as safe and secure as possible and optimized, and make sure that you are working with payments providers who offer real protection and agility for your business. And I can't think of anyone better than Eric Horgan to talk to me about this. Eric is no stranger to this podcast, but he'll introduce himself again in just a second. It's going to be a very interesting conversation, so let's go ahead and dive in.
Thank you, Kieran. So my name's Eric Horgan. I lead product in Europe at Elavon, and my role as head of product means that I'm looking to build really the best payment experiences for our retail customers and really to look for ways to help them to grow and to optimize their business in doing so. So that's really what my role is day to day here at Elavon.
Fantastic. Well, it's great to speak to you again, Eric. Thank you so much for taking the time. It's a very interesting time to be talking on this subject. Not only are we just releasing an incredible, big, hefty piece of work together, which you obviously contributed to, which is fantastic, which for our audience listening will be available just down below this recording. But also, on top of that, there is some very interesting things happening in the news which kind of pertain to what we're talking about. So I think it's safe to say, Eric, that payments are now really, really critical infrastructure in retail, and nothing has highlighted that better than the recent M&S payments outage after a cyber attack. So from your perspective, what are the most common blind spots that retailers have in their payment strategy?
Yeah, well, the M&S outage seems certainly from the current BBC reporting to be ransomware and related to data. And I know we had a good discussion before around fraud. But if you're kind of talking more in general and taking a step back, and maybe I would say this being in the payments business, but I think it's kind of the ingrained thinking from retailers and from businesses that payments is just a utility. You know, and I think payments and your payments provider offers you a lot more than that. But we can help solve some of the problems that you have kind of day to day in your business from an operational and a growth perspective. Because when you think about retailers these days, pretty much all of their revenue comes through cards. And as a result, their cash flow is linked to that. So you really have to think in terms of your payment provider, are they helping you convert sales? Are they helping you maximize your cash flow or giving you the cash flow you need, making sure that you're funded in time? And are they helping you kind of grow your business as well? So if you're looking to go into other markets online, can they provide some support and help in terms of, well, from a payments perspective, there might be different preferences from consumers in other markets. So I'd say that there's a number of ways that as a payments provider and Elavon as an acquirer, that we can, you know, we can elevate the discussion with customers to kind of help in that way. And I think that blind spot, I think, is still out there, but we're doing our best to kind of really show and prove ourselves to retailers that that's something that we could add to.
Yeah, 100%. It's one of those things where, as we talked about in our previous conversation, retailers cannot afford to not be optimized to the max these days, can they? I mean, we know that this year is going to continue to be a turbulent year. There's a lot unexpected, which has happened already, and a lot that's probably going to come further into 2025 as well. So I guess payments is one of those areas where it's so, so fundamental to your business, but a lot of people might just be a little worried about changing it up or see it as kind of a necessary cost center for their business. Whereas it sounds like it can be something that is kind of actively helping you bolster for, you know, those unexpected times.
Absolutely. We'd be very aware as well of the context in which retailers are operating in. So you put it very well there, Ciarán, that operational costs are going up, consumer spending, kind of not quite sure what will happen. We know there's tariffs in, tariffs out, all of those things, and kind of a changing retail landscape impacted by digital transformation, where retailers are trying to grapple with how do they best set their stall to grow. So, but very aware of the kind of the context of, you know, it's tough out there. So, and that's kind of why we can offer those supports, but we're also very well aware that customers are also looking for support in these times, just to optimize, to ensure that, you know, what they have is running as well as possible. And one of the areas we find that comes up a lot is in fraud and chargebacks. And maybe that's one of the things that I'll talk about here. It's sort of one of the areas that is a cost driver for retailers. So they either complete the transaction and the chargeback arrives a couple of weeks later, or they get hit by fraud. Mm-hmm. And as per our last podcast here, we spoke about fraud. And fraud's out there and it's moving online. And it's moving online in all sorts of ways that are kind of almost beyond the payments business, but certainly impact you around it. Identity theft, social engineering, phishing, all of those things that are out there to steal customers' details. And then these cards kind of arrive at your website or at your doorstep. So that's kind of the context in which retailers are operating in. And in there, like, there's some practical advice with regards to fraud that you'd give to retailers first and foremost. And this is in the face-to-face world. It's kind of just vigilance. Vigilance is a big thing. We've got cases where cardholders turn up to pay and they're kind of shifting through a number of cards, looking which one to use. And so suspicious activity is still out there, and being vigilant towards that. Customers who are putting large orders through, customers using mail and telephone order, which is kind of one of those channels to make a payment where the full authentication stream doesn't really happen. Now, there's extra checks kind of at an acquirer and issuer level with regard to those. So customers need to be vigilant about those things to make sure and prevent as much as possible some of the losses that they might suffer as a result. And then there's kind of the services Elavon can offer there as well, I suppose, too.
Yeah, that's something that I really wanted to talk about. In fact, it sounds like, based on the research that we did for the report, global volumes of fraud and chargebacks are expected to surge by 40% by 2026.
Wow, yeah.
That is scary. That could really be the difference between thriving and just surviving, or maybe having to pack in your business altogether. And I'm wondering, you've previously mentioned transaction risk analysis and how that can actually really improve approval rates. It's an interesting thing. Perhaps you wouldn't mind just explaining for those who don't know what TRA involves, but then also along with that, for retailers who are maybe a bit worried about the prospect of implementing more advanced payment technologies, how do you suggest that they overcome the fear of disrupting their existing systems?
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. So I'll start off by explaining this kind of clunkily named TRA application. So it's really a service that we offer to the more enterprise retailers for their online volumes. So Elavon kind of runs the transaction through a machine learning application. And as a result of that, can give customers an exception for this 3D secure authentication that I spoke about. So effectively, if you're one of our customers under this program, your customers who are purchasing on your website won't have to go through that whole, what we've all become very used to here in the UK around authenticating on your bank's mobile app before the transaction can actually be approved. Yeah. You get an exception for that. So it's a less friction. There's less friction in the transaction as a result. And we see customers have higher take-up rates, lower abandonment, and their approval rates go up. So that's a service that we offer where we almost run it through some enhanced fraud monitoring, and as a result are able to avoid the necessity to apply that 3D secure authentication that has that two-step thing that customers have become very used to, retailers have become very used to, but it's still, you know, it's still to some extent just an extra step. And in this digital world, anything that's an extra step is just not good.
You'll lose some people.
Absolutely. Then in terms of kind of the change part as well, we try and build these services really as much as possible that they can kind of be switched on without a whole load of website integration or anything like that. So there's like a couple of options with regard to that. There is the pure switch on where we switch it on the background. There's also a plugin as well that a customer can integrate to be able to get that service. So in terms of fear of change, it's up to us as a payments partner to make that as easy as possible. So we've got those, you know, easier ways to integrate, something that we can just switch on. With the likes of TRA, we're very comfortable, and in general very comfortable, and it happens in the payments business a lot. Run a pilot, you know, test it out. I mean, even in the face-to-face world, quite often when we're really trying to win business from somebody else, we put one terminal in and then two terminals in and let a business try and understand that, yeah, this is good. We understand it. It works. We'll test and then we'll move. So you can kind of, there's all sorts of ways that you can mitigate the fear of change or the risk of change even, you know, that like we understand customers they're taking a punt going with a new partner and making a change. So you could do it in steps, running a pilot, and then figuring out, do you want to actually take the full service? So there's means and ways of doing that, but it is on us at Elevon and as a business and an industry to kind of make that way more easy, because we're the payments experts, you're the retail experts, and we really have to make that a lot easier for you to understand.
And something else that we actually talked about in the recent report that we've released is that another thing eating away at some of those margins are hidden payment processing fees.
Yep.
So from your experience, what's one really surprising inefficiency that you see retailers repeatedly overlook?
Yeah, I'd say hidden fees is a good one. You do look for a partner who is transparent when you get your bill and you understand everything you're paying for, and that's kind of this kind of a lot of effort that we put into that, because we want customers really to understand that. I'd actually say one of the things we also see is, let's say, retailers who've kind of built up channels over time. So maybe started off in the bricks and mortar world, moved into online, and never really connected things up. And as a result, might have a very long list of payment providers, right? So really, they've kind of, in a way, through no fault of their own, they've kind of built up a whole list of partners and suppliers that they need to work with, because of, you know, how their business has grown. So you've got all of these fragmented providers pretty much doing similar things, but in different ways as a result of however the business has grown in different regions. So I'd say fragmented providers is one thing, and it would really be to take a look at the overall cost of your payments once you put it together, if you suspect that this is the case. And we do see this a bit. There's a very definite cost to this, but there's also a very definite benefit to having things a little bit more integrated. So like when your systems are fragmented, aside from the cost, you're not really consolidating the data very easily across the systems. So, you know, omni becomes difficult. So, you know, omni-channel as a strategy, where certainly from a payments perspective, you want customers to pay online and maybe get their refund in store, or the opposite of that. When the systems are fragmented, let alone do they cost more, but they're not integrated, and you don't get some of that benefit that you would get from having things under one roof. That would be one of the inefficiencies that we see, certainly from retailers that are kind of on that growth evolution at a certain stage. That is something that we see that's common enough.
I think that's a really fantastic point, because it is incredibly rare that you will find a solutions provider who offers one transactional service in this day and age, you know. But as you say, it is no fault of their own, because as businesses grow and scale, you look for solutions that fill a specific niche. But actually, if you went back and reviewed the providers you're working with, as you say, probably lots are doing similar things or offer similar services that you're just not utilizing, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's difficult as well. I mean, as I said, we're all operating in this digital transformation world, you know, where things are changing so rapidly. And, you know, and every 5 years is almost, you know, a new set or way of doing things. Certainly in the payment space and the retail space, it's, you know, even speedier. So there's where you started from, how you solve problems along the way to grow your business very effectively. And then you kind of reach a stage where, you know, it's kind of like all businesses, it's an efficiency drive. It's what are our needs today? They're different than they were. The world's changed. Services that are out there have changed. The providers have changed. What are our needs today? And I think there's real benefit from retailers taking that seriously. Because as I mentioned, we're aware we're a big part of your cost, but we're also aware we can help you as well.
As we have discussed in this conversation already, and I think, you know, everyone listening will agree that the retail sector in general, it's under immense pressure to deliver those seamless checkout experiences. It's exactly what we just talked about. Friction leads to cart abandonment. And actually, I think in the research that we did, cart abandonment currently is close to about 70%. Which is a huge, huge number. If you can, you know, claw some of that back, my goodness, the difference that will make. But looking from, you know, outside of the internal perspective, looking from the customer perspective, what do you think is the most effective payment improvement retailers could implement to make that process as simple and seamless and just easy for their customers? What's the one thing they could do to help with that?
Yeah, I'll give a few. The first one I'd give is payment types. Say online, really, I think, I mean, that there are some websites that still don't offer Apple Pay and Google Pay. And you will get your cart abandoned by not offering those payment types. So I do think those wallet payments are a must do. And if you don't have them, that will immediately decrease abandonment and increase conversion. I think overall, though, that online checkout experience is something to give an awful lot of focus to as a retailer. So customers check out, have the stuff in there in the cart, and then that flow between cart and payment page, that's going to be as seamless as possible. So there's kind of ways of kind of hooking up your website to this payments infrastructure that we offer that can actually make the user experience as seamless as possible, integration types that we have. So I'd say be very sort of thoughtful in doing that so the customer sort of feels they're still on the same journey. So lots of other things that we know work, less related to payments, but just from talking to customers, and it's kind of a general discussion, guest checkouts work, free delivery if it suits your the economics of your product, returns policy. We actually spoke about that before, Kieran, as well. Mm-hmm. Like the returns policy is a huge part of online, and some retailers have, you know, very generous returns terms, and, you know, the more generous can be abused, but certainly the more generous do lead to, you know, lesser cart abandonment, probably greater conversion as well, because customers are tuned into that and looking for that as well. So it's a whole plethora of things, but from a payments perspective, get your payment types certainly up to date with what customers want to pay with, because they're tuned into those experiences, and then checkout, raise your focus on checkout experience. Mm-hmm.
As anyone who's listened to our conversations so far will intuitively know, you've had an incredible career in this space as a revenue leader and a product executive. So I want to pick your brains a bit around that. This is a complex question, but I'm interested to hear what you have to say. Do you think that retailers are too focused on cost reduction alone at the moment, and therefore are potentially missing opportunities for payments-driven revenue growth? Or is that just kind of an oversimplification?
No, I don't think it's an oversimplification at all. So it's kind of back to kind of my core point. you know, I wouldn't be so foolish as to think like a retailer thinks, you know, deeply about payment strategy. But I do think they, you know, they've got a retail business to run. But I do think it needs to get it needs to be as much on the strategic side as it is on the cost and the utility side. So yes, I think it is almost a growth enabler. There's a number of ways that it could be viewed as. So the first is data. We've got what we call our Elavon Connect portal, where we present all of the data about you. But there's so much data in the card payment. And as I mentioned before, like at this stage, almost all retail volume is via cards in the UK. So you've got data that you can mine to help plan your business and understand, you know, everything from, you know, what are to support decisions about everything, like when do we need workforce on the floor? When do we not? What products are doing well? All of that. So data is the first thing. Second thing I'd say is payment types do open up markets, right? So if you're online and you might wonder, well, you know, I'm selling, but I'm not selling anything in the Netherlands. Why am I not? Because everybody buys via a payment type called iDEAL in the Netherlands. So it's a different payment type. They don't like to pay, and that's a consumer preference. And you need a payments provider to kind of guide you through, certainly as you're going international and online. Well, in that market, you know, guess what? Visa and MasterCard aren't dominant. So you need something else. You need somebody else to aggregate that. So I'd say payment types opens up markets. I'd also say online, there's a conversion rate. There's like you want the sale to close. And I've mentioned a whole load of stuff already, Karen, around like, you know, just how to improve that conversion rate and how to improve that customer experience. That equals sales. Like time on that equals actual bottom or top line growth. So that's important. And then if you think about it as well, you can open up new channels. I mean, we've got services like Pay by Link, for example. So you might be a small business, don't really want to go online, but you do want to accept online payments. We've got a Pay by Link product where, you know, you can send a link to the cardholder to complete the payment. And that kind of opens up, again, growth opportunities to you. So like, kind of, I think there's a number of ways there that if you begin to kind of leverage the full set of services that the payments provider gives you, there's like, and certainly I believe it, and just kind of course I would in a way, you know, being in the payments business, but like there's a very strong argument for it being a growth enabler and it being more on the strategic side of your suppliers rather than just, you know, utility, and this is something that we've got to do.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, one of the things that we've talked about quite a lot in this conversation is the idea that actually consolidation can be a real benefit for your business. And we've talked so much about streamlining and, you know, operational effectiveness. But there is maybe a counter argument to that that I want to kind of gauge your opinion on. And that is that, is there ever a risk of becoming overly reliant on one payments partner?
I suppose that it's kind of the efficiency versus sort of flexibility argument. And my answer is yes, Kieran. Mm-hmm. You've got to watch out for that as a retailer, right? But it's kind of do the work in terms of, say, some of the topics we touched on already around fragmented providers. You could just have too many for your needs. And really at this stage, other than the very, very high-end tier one retailers who often have a number of acquirers behind a platform and get into some very complex payment flows, one acquirer generally, like we are all as a business kind of at that, you know, at these 99.999 uptime levels, you know, mm-hmm. Your volume's pretty much guaranteed. We've all put the investment, or certainly Elavon has, in terms of the platform. So, but I do think doing the work, a review of your infrastructure would certainly help. And in general, I would say, bar like, you know, customers who are processing, you know, significant volumes and have very complex markets that they need to serve, one really does do the trick. And we are seeing that as a trend. We are seeing that as a trend. Even, you know, it would have been more likely 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago for customers to have these sort of fragmented systems with, you know, one gateway, a different partner for this, a different acquirer, a different payment provider for PayPal. You know, we saw that. And the trend, and certainly what the retail industry is telling us, is just simplify it, please. Please simplify it. Yeah. So on balance, I think that one is better, but do the work, you know, do the work, do the maths, understand what you need and make a decision based on that.
Yeah, there's always going to be trade-offs, isn't there? In any decision that you make for your business, there's always going to be trade-offs, but sometimes the positives so drastically outweigh the negatives that it's just worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I'm gonna ask you one final question then, kind of circling back round to what's been in the news so much recently. If you could give one piece of advice how to protect yourself from finding your business in a similar situation, what would that one piece of advice be?
Yeah, it's unfortunately, it's just be vigilant. Be vigilant, but also linked to that, work with a trusted provider from a payments perspective. Ransomware, a little bit different to, but linked to card data being stolen. Like, we've been in this business in Europe for 25 years, not new to that risk, not new to the risk of data and how valuable card data is in the market. And so businesses that have kind of that experience and have that established, and we have programs that kind of ensure a customer against some of this stuff. So ensure a customer with regard to some of the fines that they might incur as a result of a breach, and we'll support them through that. So we've got some products that will support them that way. And I think they have to look, and this is kind of a more general sort of piece of advice to, I don't know, like Marks and Spencer's, the latest one hit though, but it's not a case of if, it's like when will you be breached is the way the security analysts ask you to plan. But really, like, I think this is where Elavon's trust value comes through. But the real advice is vigilance, because it goes a lot further than your data and your card data. It's network security, it's a lot of other things. Yeah, that would be the final word on that. Be vigilant and work with a trust provider.
Amazing, amazing. And I think that's a really good summary of our conversation, actually. It's been such a pleasure to speak to you again, Eric. Thank you so much for your time. And to our audience, that report that we've been kind of alluding to will be available just down below this podcast. So do go and check it out for some more golden nuggets from Eric in there.
Thank you, Kieran. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.